Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining us today is Ashley Battle, the owner of Beauty Battles Lounge, an advanced beauty spa that has been around since 2018. Ashley aspired to bring her clients all leading edge services to provide the best results. Beauty Battles is currently undergoing an expansion, which will allow her to bring more amazing services and more confidence to her clients. Ashley, welcome to the show. Please share more about you and what you do.
Well, thank you for welcoming me and for having me on your show. So I have an advanced beauty spa, and right now we're actually also going to be, when we do the expansion, adding a little bit more of a wellness aspect to it. And all I really focus on is just bringing more confidence to my clients and being able to offer them different services that you might be able to find out of spa, or that you might have to go to other areas, and housing them all in the same space.
Amazing. And I know that you started Beauty Battles about 5 years ago. So what inspired you to start the company? And were you doing similar beauty services before, or was it something totally new?
So I've had my cosmetology license since 2002. Although I wasn't working in the industry for about 14, 15 years, I kind of had left the industry and focused a little bit more on sales and just working different sales jobs. And at one point I found myself at a sales position that didn't really earn any extra income like commission. And I just decided to go get myself certified in microblading, which is one of the services that I offer. And I got certified in that. And one thing led to another. Within a month of starting that, I left the job I was at and started renting a space at a salon. And little by little, I like to call it baby steps, I was able to grow into where I'm at now, that or doing a full renovation in a brand new space and being able to move in there and continue to expand on the services that I offer.
Super exciting. And what was that turning point for you with going from renting at another salon to actually wanting to go and start your own spa?
Space for starters.
Yeah,
the area I was working in, it was an actual salon, and I was renting this tiny little space behind a curtain. I used to like to joke with the clients that I was the Wizard of Oz, just creating magic behind the curtain. So I started with microblading and then added a couple other services. And one of the services was actually body sculpting. And with that brings a little bit more machinery, that takes up a little bit more space, making the curtain space into a much smaller area. And actually right on my 1 year anniversary, I moved into the space that I'm currently at. So I went from behind a curtain in a tiny little area to a space where I had a reception area, a waiting room, and three private service rooms. And now we're moving into like a whole, I can fit three of where I'm at and where I'm going.
Oh my gosh. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the expansion in terms of what new services you'll be offering and when you knew you wanted to expand and what that will look like for you, because that's so exciting.
So when I knew, let's start with that one. I actually, right after we were able to open up, right after COVID, when businesses started opening, I was actually my industry was one of the services that was a little bit more delayed. I think we were phase two, part two or something like that. So hair salons were able to open, but aesthetic areas weren't. And I was nervous. I was so scared that we weren't going to be able to, that I wasn't going to have clients coming in. I'm working on your face, you know? So I was very scared about that, but it just actually, we were bombarded. I actually had to hire my first employee. I just continued to grow from there. And at one point I was just like, you know what? I think it's time to move to somewhere where I'm kind of hiding where my location's currently at. I'm on a busy road, but behind a dentist office. So it's kind of like hidden. We're like a hidden gem. Yeah. You have to look for us to find us. So at that point I kind of started like toying with the idea of moving to a bigger space and maybe expanding with a hair salon or nails, going more the hair spa area. And that's the route I was going to take. Eventually, at the end of 2021, I did find a space, which is where I'm currently moving into. Trials and tribulations, many things have happened where we are now getting ready to move in. And luckily it did take, as frustrating as it was, it did take the amount of time that it did, because I actually changed my entire idea of the added services that I was going to put in. And I decided to go the wellness route instead. So we're actually going to be having a cryo chamber, added in. We're going to be, a full blown, that baby is going to be amazing. we're going to be having a sensory deprivation, waterless, bed, installed. We're going to be adding sauna, a compression room. And then we've actually just recently changed our body sculpting, treatments from, using lipocavitation and, radio frequency to tighten, the skin and reduce the fat cells to, more of a cryo style, body sculpting equipment. So that's been fun learning and figuring out. So we're just continuing to do what we do, but being able to change the technology and continue to grow with what the industry is doing.
That's amazing. So you had mentioned that it's a good thing, silver lining, that moving into your new space took longer because you ended up changing your idea completely. But I'd love to hear what like kind of sparked that. What made you want to change your mind and go a completely different route?
A couple of things. First and foremost, the corner, the block I'm actually moving into, there's at least three other hair salons with a single standing nail salon in that same area, which those are the services I wanted to kind of like house in my beauty battle world. And one night I'm just in the middle of like, you know, not sleeping, wake up with that, like, what am I doing wrong as a mom? Right. And I'm like, what else can I do to make my kids' lives better? And then I'm like, wait a minute, check yourself, because that sounds expensive, because their lives are perfect right now. You're doing everything you can. And that's when I was like, all right, let's pay attention to what's going on in the new space. We have to add more plumbing, so that's a lot more expense that we're going to be having to add to the build out. We're going to have to hire, right, if we're in this area where it's so bombarded with all these services that you want to add, we're going to have like master stylists. Where do we find those? Where do we find people that will focus solely on hair and are a master like colorist or a master in whatever department it comes in? Where do I find that person? How do I hire them when I find them? And how do I do that without spending an arm and a leg on just bringing that person on board, right? And then maybe not being happy. And the same thing with nail techs. What else can I do? And I have no, this is how microblading happened too. I have no idea how it just popped in my head. I'm like, let me research like cryo chambers and let me research all this stuff. And I did a couple of researches. I found an amazing company that sent me out to a couple different places to scope out like their equipment and like what they do and how they do. And they've educated me really well in these styles of treatments. And it just all made sense. Mm-hmm. It's something that's not in this area. It's something that's not available. You have to travel at least an hour away to be able to find these types of services. And you don't find them all in the same place. And you definitely don't find them with the services, the advanced beauty services that I already offer as well.
Yeah.
So,
That's amazing. Had you personally invested in those wellness services for yourself before? Like you've done them and that kind of inspired you? Or is it just something that you researched and was like, I think this will actually be a really good fit for Western Mass?
I haven't personally researched it, but I mean used the services at that point. I have
Yeah.
now. But I've heard I mean I go to the gym. I'm around a lot of people that are constantly like finding different wellness types style services and treatments, and you just hear all these different things. So I just started researching and realize and like paying attention to like how they all kind of work together and how it would benefit not
Right.
only my business but the community as well, to be able to have these types of services. And when I started kind of like throwing the idea, I threw it out at to my new landlord, and he's like, "Yes, I'll get a membership." I threw it out to my
Whoa.
contractor. He's like, "I'll get a membership." At this point, I didn't even know that these things worked as memberships. And I'm like, "Wait, you know?" So actually my landlord's like, "Go check out this place and this place." Like they were at least like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
He's like, "Contact them. They're very knowledgeable. I was considering doing something like this. This is awesome that you want to do it." So it was
That's
very like,
amazing.
everybody was so excited about it that I was like, "You know what? Let me keep on going this route. I think I'm hitting like the nail on the head at this point."
Right. Well, you're exactly right in the fact that I'm on the South Coast, and the only place I know of that offers something similar to that is up on the North Shore. So, to exactly to your point, it's like an hour to an hour and a half way if you want to be able to travel for those wellness services. So, it's incredible that you're bringing that to Western Mass for people who are in that area and want to be able to invest in themselves in that aspect. And one of the things that you chatted about as well is just simply finding a new space, which I know for businesses who have a physical storefront or a physical location, commercial real estate can be a really huge monster to tackle. And just from you going through the process, I would love if you could share any advice that you learned from going through that, or things that you wish you did, or things that worked out well that you might not have known before. I would just love to hear about what that was like.
I still don't know what I did. I'm kidding. It's been a long process. I've seen a lot of different areas. I've seen a lot of different spaces. It's about knowing what you want and not letting somebody tell you what you're looking for. If your imagination can take you there where you can see what you're thinking come into reality when you walk into the space, that's definitely important. As opposed to there was this one space that I believe I saw maybe three times because they kept on trying to convince me that it was going to work out because it used to be a tanning salon and it had like a hair salon aspect to it. It was a really weird building. It was just a strange, I just didn't even the smell of it just didn't feel right to
Yeah.
me. And I'm just like, I can't. And then there was like a little business that had a similar logo to mine right behind. And I'm like, no. So
Right.
you just know. It's also about understanding the lease and what the different types of leases are. Till this moment, I still don't understand what a triple net lease is, but I do know that it's not the best option. So it's about educating and having yourself a good team around you too that can tell you about their experiences and share with you the expectations that you should be having because this is what they went through. And then having a good attorney that will definitely walk you through the process, especially with the lease,
Right.
and making sure that the lease benefits you just as much as it benefits the landlord, because that they're writing the lease to benefit them,
Absolutely.
so that you're completely protected. But it can be a long process unless you're willing to just settle for whatever just because it's the shiny thing in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that with some business owners, when they move to a new location, they worry about losing clients for moving somewhere else. So, is that something that you've kind of been worrying about, or do you have a plan in place to kind of keep that transition smooth, which I know can be a little bit tricky depending on the location and whatnot?
I am actually scared of the other side of that. Like I mentioned before, I'm actually moving from, I'm kind of hiding to the point where I constantly get phone calls. Where are you? And I'm like, you're right in front of where we're at. There's like four signs. Look for the number on the street. But we're going from that to a storefront, and a storefront on a really busy street. So I have, and then we're going to be the nice, bright, shining diamond because our storefront's getting completely redone and part of the
Oh,
renovation
amazing.
as well. Yeah, it's been a blessing. It's been a long process, but it's been a really big blessing. Especially since my landlord was actually able to get a grant to cover the outside of the building, and then a portion of that grant was actually for my build out.
Oh,
So
wow. That's
they gave me the
amazing.
money. Yeah, they gave me the money, and I just go in there, and it's the best feeling ever. A bunch of men asking me questions, and me I telling them what I want, and them doing it. So that's been great. But I'm going to the space where it's going to be a lot bigger. It's going to be much, much out there in people's faces. But the other thing is, it's right up the street from where I'm currently at. So I'm
Oh,
not,
awesome.
distance wise, I'm actually not going to lose clients. And it's actually a little bit more closer to the highway. So it's going to be a little more accessible for my clientele. And it's just gonna, so I'm not worried about losing clients. I'm actually scared of the other side of it, where it's gonna, like, how am I gonna handle the influx, especially with the new services coming in, because that's a whole different ball game, where I'm
Right.
able to reach out to gyms to get clientele, schools with the sporting departments, even chiropractors, or a lot of different industries that I can become involved with at this point to continue to grow the business. So
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a great problem to have. And I totally understand, like, just the anxiety of it is making sure that you have the capacity in terms of time and team members to be able to fulfill the hopefully booming business and clientele that will be coming in.
hopefully.
Yeah. And will you still be keeping the aesthetic services as well? Oh,
Yes.
awesome.
So the space that we're moving into was a dance studio that was almost like two separate rooms. So two different storefronts that were kind of connected by this weird little door. So it was a big open space. So now I've actually knocked down the wall between the two spaces, and I'm having one side continue to be all of the services that we currently offer. So all of the aesthetics. We will be adding massage to the as part of the services, and then we will have all of the wellness and the advanced beauty stuff on the other side.
Awesome. And as of this recording, it's towards the end of February that we're recording this interview. When is the launch date, if you have a launch date?
When they tell me I'm ready to move in,
Yeah.
it's been a long process. But construction is almost complete. So originally I was told by the end of February, since we're like about maybe like a week or two further than that. So probably mid-March I should be able to move in. Around that time I will be just dealing with licensing, making sure that all the licenses are all properly set up, since there are inspections that need to happen. So fingers crossed, beginning of April, maybe mid-April. I am preparing myself to potentially be closed for like a week or two in April. At least with the aesthetic services, not necessarily with any of the advanced beauty things, because I kind of have all that set up already.
Amazing. And do you have any fun launch plans that you're going to do to celebrate the opening?
But we'll definitely be having a grand opening at some point.
Yeah.
I can't, every time I set a time, I'm like, oh, that's not gonna happen anymore. So process. But I definitely want, especially before we even open, when everything's set up and before we take our first client, I would like to have some sort of a VIP night for my members. So the clients that do have their memberships, or the clients that come frequently, I want to be able to share this with them, because without them, this would not be even an idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. And you mentioned about with the memberships of not realizing that with these wellness services, you can build a membership model. And so, which I think memberships are fascinating because it's a great way to retain customers and help get that recurring income coming in. But as you were starting to learn about like this membership model, what were some interesting things that came to you that as you started to kind of shape out these services?
Well, I already have a membership model with the services that I currently have. For some of the services that we can kind of like facials or waxings. So we do have some sort of a membership standing. Now, what we need to figure out is what I'm still working on is figuring out how the membership is going to work out for the wellness services since they are so quick. You're in the chamber for 3 minutes. So since they are so quick and they are so repetitive, it's about figuring out how to create the membership for those services, but still incorporate the benefits of having our regular memberships that we already have. So it's like, how do we do it where it's enticing, it's exciting, it works for us, and it's a crazy benefit for our members.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it, as you said, it provides so many benefits and so much value that it will keep people coming back for more and providing them with the space where they know that they can invest in themselves ultimately.
Absolutely.
And as you've started to focus on your expansion and build out these new services, has that involved building out a team to help support you and cover these new areas as well?
Yes. We're actually in a little bit of like a seesaw right now, just because obviously the we need front end. I'm going to need a little bit more front end than what I currently have because the spa at this moment can be just sustained with myself and my technician. It is nice to have that front end support. But it's not super necessary with how small we are right now. But moving into this new space where we definitely need to have constant front end help. So I am building that part up. And the front end is also going to be helping with the machinery that's going to be coming in. So for the wellness side of things. So I think I like it's like a seesaw. So now I need to start hiring for the other side where we the technicians and being able to find a massage therapist and so that part, you know, because you need licensing and some experience and that and usually you find people that are like already working somewhere and it's just that part is the scary part. I mean, I really don't like hiring people. Like I hate the process. Just show up at my door and tell me you want to work here. And make me like you.
Yeah, and especially because I
It's
always
just
think too, like no one will ever love your business as much as you. And so that can be something that's really difficult. Whereas you're going through and hiring people, knowing that not everyone's going to give 100% like you would, which is okay, but it's just that something that adds another facet to it, which is just making sure it's someone you can trust and will follow through on things for your clients the same way you would.
Which right now I'm very fortunate that the group that I have formed to this point does like they I know that they love me and they love the business and they like I want I obviously you want people to want to feel like they are a part of the growth and you want people to feel like they're a part of the company or the business and so I try to treat them with all the respect and show them how much I appreciate them all the time. But then I have had people that don't care. And that's the part that's scary because it's like they can interview amazingly and then like they start working and you're like, well, that was a dud, you know? And it's unfortunate because they just you're right, they just don't care. And that's the reason why I hate hiring, because I hate firing.
The hardest part. What's the part about what you do that you love the most, would you say?
Oh, I think my favorite, I like all the different aspects of what I do. All the different services. I like that I'm not bored. And working in sales is part of the reason why you sometimes you meet people that have changed from this company, this company. They're always successful, but they just change because they just need a different pace as things become repetitive.
Right.
So I like that I've created an environment of so many different types of services that draw in so many different types of clientele. And like, I love that not even if every day had the same services going on, they're never the same.
Yeah.
And I'm able to bring my, but my absolute favorite part is that I'm able to bring a level of confidence to people. I'm able to help somebody out with an insecurity that they probably have had for a while, and just with a little bit of a change, like make them feel better. Sometimes it's not even the services makes them feel better. It's being able to communicate with someone else. I've had people while I'm giving them a facial just start crying because they haven't been touched in such a long
Oh.
time by someone else, going through whatever they're going through. And I think the most special part is that my clients feel so comfortable just coming in. They feel like they're a part of something. They feel like they're, like we're a family, and that all of that is my favorite part.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the most amazing things about being in the beauty and wellness space is that you build such close relationships with your clients and you get to know them on such a personal level, which is truly amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, they're the people who are helping to support your business and are the reason why you're able to grow and have this really exciting expansion, which is amazing.
They definitely are. And support and just yeah, it's awesome. It's really sometimes you don't realize the effect you have on people until it's time for them to show up for you. And
Yeah.
that right there, that's what means a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And as you're going through this expansion and incredible growth, do you have advice for anyone who might be in a similar spot where they have a business and they're totally switching things around or they're taking a new path and might feel a little bit overwhelmed or nervous about it all?
My advice to everyone, because I do love to mentor other business owners, especially ones that are starting off, start small. Baby steps. It's easier to revert back and just and go backwards on something when it's just one thing than it is to have a million things falling on you because they just didn't work out.
Right.
It's happened to me millions of times where I'm like, oh, this is a cool new service. And I start doing it and I hate it. And but I didn't, I invested the time and the money and I did what I needed to do. And I was able to cover the charge for it. And then I could stop doing it.
Yeah.
And some people, I met a man once who was like, I'm working hard. I'm working like five jobs. I'm doing all this because I want to save enough money to buy three multifamilies. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. Three multifamilies, buy one, make money off of that, move to the next one, and then continue to grow, right? Like you buy
Right.
all three and then you go bankrupt. What happens? Like you're screwed, right? It didn't work out. It might not be just because you're doing something or you're changing something and it makes sense. It might not be something that you like to do. It might not be something you love. So why would you put your entire life savings into it? Unless like, you're a multimillionaire and you want to. But that's my only advice. Little by little, and you'll get to where you want to get because you're setting these goals for yourself and you're gonna reach them one way or another. But sometimes you just have to go backwards to move forward.
I think that's great advice, which is shown through your story, where you mentioned how you thought you wanted to go in one direction, and because of the longer process that it took with finding your new space, you realized you wanted to go in another direction. And so I think that totally shows the validity of taking your time with things and not feeling rushed because it helps you feel more confident in your choices and make sure that this next step that you're taking is the right fit for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes when things seem like they're just not working out, it's not that they're not working out. It's just that you're being given a chance and an opportunity to reevaluate the situation.
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned that you mentor other business owners. So I think that's one of the most important things as a business owner is to find a mentor. So what have you found to be beneficial with helping other businesses? And even if you've had mentors, how they've helped you as well?
Well, the reason why I love to mentor other businesses is because I have had some amazing mentors. I've been so blessed throughout this entire process of being able to meet different people, even in different industries, and within the industry, right, where they're showing you that they're not selfish with their knowledge. They're not, that they understand that your path is your path and that theirs is their, as well. So to get to where I am, I wouldn't have been able to without my mentors. And just even sometimes people are not your mentor, but they're able to talk about their experience or even give you a couple of words of knowledge that plant a seed and it just grows. I remember one day somebody goes to me, they're like, oh, next year I'm going to make six figures. And I was like, oh yeah, I want to make six figures next year too. I did. He's like, don't just say it like you're a dope. Like no, believe that you're going to do it. And I did. And it's just that right there, that's, you know, he wasn't a mentor, but he was someone knowledgeable. So you always have to be listening to what people are saying. Yeah. I had my mentor also guide me in the process of moving from behind the curtain to the space that I'm currently at. And this woman would actually show up. She owns her own spa salon right now. And she would show up and she'd be like, I'd be freaking out, the Board of Health, the Board of Cosmetology, I don't know what to do. And she's like, calm down. I'm going to go and meet with you. This is what you need. This is what, and listen, it's going to take a while. So don't freak out. And I'm like, okay, you just freak out, but it's nice to have people that can guide you because they've already been there. Yes. So I also want to be able to help people because sometimes people just don't know that you need to go through certain levels or stages to be able to do everything legally and correctly. And I like to give that or just like, hey, why don't you go check this place out or go talk to this person. They can help you, you know? So it's so important. It's so important because you need a support system no matter what. And your family is not going to always know the answers to how to deal with a business.
Right. Right. And for someone who wants to get a mentor but doesn't have one yet, what would you recommend that they do to one, find the right person, and two, kind of go about asking this person to be their mentor?
So I don't know the answer to that question because mine came to me. I've gone to a lot of between going to networking events and being networking events where I have actually been a huge thing for my success, and not necessarily in finding clients, but in finding connections with people from different industries and all these different aspects, or that they just know the answer to your question and who to link you with. So that's how I found mine. That's what I would advise for people to do, to take advantage of the Chamber of Commerce, to take advantage of any young professional society type of thing that might be in the area, to take advantage of different groups that can potentially put the right people in your path.
Yeah, absolutely. And exactly to your point, even though you might not get clients from the networking that you do, you'll get advice and expertise and potentially even referrals for clients from them. So if someone doesn't hire you directly, the chances of them sending someone to you who will work with you are pretty big, which is great.
Yeah. That's how I personally and on the back end of the business stuff, that's how I've grown at everything. I actually, funny enough, so obviously we both know Megan. So a friend of mine had just started the business and kind of decided that I was going to focus on this, a friend of mine had posted on Facebook that she was that she had a ticket to go to this networking thing, and it happened to be an event that that Chick Media was putting together. And I went to that, and that opened up the doors to everything that I do. I just met so many people from so many different avenues, which tied me into the Young Professional Society that we have in our area, that tied me to meeting this person and that person, and just my accountant, my everything. It's just like every tool that I use, you know, has come from that one event.
Yeah.
And maybe not directly from that one event, but it's as the 5 years have gone by, it's turned into like my team, my network, mm-hmm. my everything. And I have gotten some amazing friendships from it too. And we all support one another, and we're all like different small business owners and or in some sort of sales position or some sort of something where we can all support one another.
Yeah. And I think that's incredibly important to do, especially being in Western Mass, because I know just from other people out in that area I've spoken to, there's been a huge focus on economic development and business growth in that location. So I think it's wonderful mm-hmm. that you're focusing on meeting all these people and finding ways to support one another.
Agree.
And with all the connections that you have, what would you say are your favorite local businesses to support?
All of them. Just kidding. I have a few that are like my go-to. I believe I had mentioned the gym earlier. So I think you might have met with Drew.
Yes,
so
I did.
Train for Life. So that's one of my happy places to go to. He just kicked my butt this morning. I just drove out to the Cape, so I'm actually in the Cape right now. And
wow.
Yeah, when I got out of the car, I'm like, oh, my legs. And I'm like, oh, yeah. there's a lot of small businesses in the area that I'm in right now. So I love to go to Good Works, which is a small coffee house, which is actually one of my friends who from high school, who owns it. And he's going to be the next street over when I move. So that's awesome. The Artist Cafe is one of my favorite places too, which is another old school friend of mine who owns a cafe, which he brings in local artists to perform, and he makes the best hot chocolate. and just there's a lot of different, like, especially nightlife places where are all like small businesses owned by someone who's become a friend of mine as well. So I love supporting small businesses. I don't really, if I'm going to go out to eat, I prefer to go to like a local restaurant as opposed right. to a chain. If I'm going to go to a cafe, yes, I love my Starbucks, but I also, you know, I would prefer to go to like, have to support one of my friends. For pretty much everything, I try to go as local and small, as local as I possibly can, because we need to support one another.
Yes, we
do. You know, and we need to, and just showing that I went to one of these places and posting it on social media, you know, people usually, hey, did you like that place? Did you? And, yeah, I love it. Go check it out, you know?
Yeah. So. Definitely. I love that. And so for now, for the people who want to support you, what's the best way that they can find you online to connect with you further?
So on all the social media platforms, we're Beauty Battles, and that's 1 T, 2 L's, and an S.
I imagine people probably misspell that often.
All the time, my entire life. That is my last name, except I don't have the S at the end. So just social media or beautybattles.com, and on our website, it links you directly to our messenger on Facebook, which you can communicate with us through there as well.
Perfect. And I will link to those in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you further from there. But Ashley, thank you so much for coming on for such an awesome show today.
Thank you, Ashley, for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.